Blog Talk Radio. live from the Cheeseburger Nebula. I'm your host, Dr. William Stewart Bonney. That is The Hikes. They're a phenomenal band from Austin, Texas. Tonight, we're going to have Mr. Will Caber on. Will, am I pronouncing your last name right? Or am I just...
How did you say it?
Caber?
Caber.
Caber.
Yeah, I actually...
Okay.
Yeah, there's a U in there, but on Facebook I have it as a V, so my parents don't look me up, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
no, yeah. I feel you 100% on that. It's better to not have them involved in things. Are you tonight, Will?
Good, man, good. It's good to be on. I was listening to the Hike song. Thanks for having me here.
Dude. Yeah, thank you for being a badass and making badass music and being involved in badass things. Let's just dive into things. So I know what you do, but for the listeners out there, you should explain what you do besides just playing badass music with the Hikes.
Okay. Well, I'm essentially I helped found a magazine, or I guess a zine, that has been evolving into a lot more, called Rapa, out of Austin, Texas. And I've been doing that for about 3 years, and it's led me on a lot of really interesting paths, meeting a lot of wonderful people like yourself. But yeah, in a nutshell, I'm a print director, so all things print, printing books, curating content for magazines, journals, zines, etc. And I'm also I help run a screen printing business, and that kind of integrates into everything else I do because everyone always needs posters or shirts for anything, and it definitely helps Hikes and Rapa out a lot. Kind of have like a direct source to doing merchandise, which is cool.
Absolutely. And I've seen, you know, countless stuff that you guys have done, all of it very, very, very quality. Just, I don't know, I have such just an artistic crush on what you guys do out in Austin, just because y'all are very all-encompassing. Zine, record, like, the amount of things that Rapa does, it's like, we could sit here for an hour, and I don't know if it would do it justice to explain, like, the parties that you throw, the shows, like, y'all's effect on the community, your poetry nights, like, everything that you guys do, and, like, how seriously you take it, but while simultaneously how much fun you have with it. It's really fucking, really cool, really humbling to be around, too.
Wow, thanks, dude.
Also, yeah, dude, of course, but also, Cogda, I've been noticing, you guys have been doing some artist series lately, with a lot of fucking badass artists. You should tell me about that, because I'm very interested.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we basically, we do service screen printing, which is to say that we get a lot of University of Texas clubs will order shirts from us. We'll do all variety of bad and or good designs. And ultimately, that's great. It pays the bills, but we kind of have the knowledge and the access to do like beautiful T-shirts and posters with screen printing. And we kind of realize, like, this is a huge asset that we have, and we need to find a way to open it up to our community of artists and then simultaneously figure out how to get them paid, how to get them feeling confident that, you know, your art is worth something. People would love it to adorn their bodies. Being very transparent about how we promote it and then how we sell them. We basically split the profit 50-50. And it's been super successful, and we've done two rounds, so six artists total, and we've sold over, we do a run of 25, and we've sold over, what have we sold? We've sold about a grand worth of shirts, which is really badass, especially during South Bend. Yeah, it was really cool sitting around with, like, you know, doing all of the totals and then saying, wow, we're about to pay out our friends, like, you know, anywhere from $70 to $120. And, you know, we help facilitate that, and they feel great. They feel encouraged. We feel great. Like, you know, it definitely is an everyone win situation. There's not one bit of, you know, ill feelings at all. It's just perfect. And I don't know, it's definitely, I want to pursue more avenues like that. You know, with the magazine, we're not able to pay anyone because there's so many contributors, and the cost of each proper release that we do growing as our ambition grows, with offset printing or whatever. But, you know, it's finding opportunities outside of the magazine to help these artists, like, you know, make a living with their art, or at least start to make a living. And this is just, I guess, the first experimental step into that direction.
Absolutely. Being like a DIY facilitator, which, like, honestly, there's so few scenes around the country that are as willing to facilitate and collaborate as you guys are too. Like, not to just completely toot your horn all night, but like, seriously, in my travels, like, the amount of people that I've met, like, there's so many DIY scenes, but there's so few scenes that are just willing to, like, branch out and really work with anybody who's like, hey, let's work together. And I really, that's one thing that I really, really respect about you guys too, is that you don't ever really limit yourself, but you could, you know? And I think that's really important too, in cultivating what you guys are trying to cultivate, and not just like a DIY company and like great scenes and great products that you create, but also like a culture. Because like anytime that you go out to any of you guys' shows, it is a culture, and there are certain faces that you see in the crowd that you've seen at other ones of your shows or that work with you guys. And that's something that I fucking love, is like having that kind of family community. It's really important. Definitely.
Oh yeah. I mean, inclusion is definitely something that early on we realized was a principal factor in how we operate. Just that everyone has something wonderful to bring, and it is getting a little bit harder to decipher when is the right time, like, to balance, you know, as perceptions of the quality of the content that the zine has. And the older we grow, we start realizing that maybe some of the art that we would have used to have accepted into the zine isn't as strong anymore. And so it's kind of like this internal battle that I have in balancing out that inclusion that's really important to me, but at the same time keeping, like, the magazine of a high standard, or a higher standard every new time. And so I have a few ideas on how to do that. I mean, I just want to keep it open to everyone. And I mean, we're doing a lot of more one-off scenes, a lot more, I guess, I print them on my risograph machine. And I feel like those are a lot easier to open up to everyone. They're a lot more accessible. I guess that's kind of why the risograph print machine became so popular in the underground comic community, is that you had this machine, wasn't too expensive, and you could just print so many copies of something for so cheap, and it was real ink. And so I've been doing a lot more, like, risograph scenes that are definitely, like, not saying that the people in the zines that I print with that are, you know, any less valid, but it's just, like, the cost of making it is so cheap. So it's just like inclusion. I mean, everyone should have a zine. Everyone who wants to make a zine should make a zine. And like, I want to help facilitate that. And so I guess still kind of an internal conflict deciding, and, you know, sitting around with a group of people and editing something and being like, well, this isn't good enough to go with the rest of this content. Like, why is it not good enough? It almost frustrates me and bothers me sometimes, you know, in an existential way, but I don't know. Yeah. I feel like we're doing it right, or we're at least trying. And if we mess up, it will be a lesson.
Well, exactly. As long as you treat every mess up like a lesson too, that's one of those more important, like, things that a lot of people don't do. You know, they just kind of like get bummed out and are like, well, fuck, I fucked up. am just going to stop, or I'm going to, like, really completely reevaluate everything I do and stop taking chances and just stick with what works, which, I mean, like, that can be fun, but, like, once again, that's not really what you guys do. It's not really what I do, too, in my own creative processes, too. So that's why I really resonate with you guys. But I guess to just get back to the hikes for a second, tell we had the hikes on, or I had the hikes on, I guess, like a year ago, but you were not in there yet. So tell the world how you came upon joining the hikes.
Well, actually, I helped start hikes with Nathan Wilkins probably a good 3 years ago. And, you know, I felt like at the time in Austin, Texas, we were part of a very vibrant music community. A lot of friends' bands were doing really well, like the likes of Mother Falcon, Marmalade, Pink, Dip Dip, just a lot of Little O. Just a lot of bands were, like, really doing well, and a lot of them were college students or in that age. I didn't go to college and you did Nathan. And we were slightly new. A lot of these kids, at least most of them, had gone to Austin High School. They had grown up kind of in the music community, in the music scene. And Nathan and I met at some parties, and we realized we were kind of the odd man out in terms of musically. It seemed that everyone on our skill level were doing well in bands. And because we were kind of Austin transplants, or relatively new Austin transplants, we hadn't really found a band to be in. And so we just started jamming around on the guitar, and we, you know, he was relatively new to the guitar at that point, which is funny because I don't know if you listen to any of our other albums, he's going nuts, tapping and, like, doing insane things. But, when we first started, he was just starting on the guitar. He was a metal drummer primarily in Arkansas in his youth, and so he kind of came from more of a blast beat background. And, I mean, I had a bunch of different musical influences, but we just started playing around with acoustic guitars. We realized that we both had tastes for kind of complex chords, kind of weird things and beautiful things. But we also shared a love for hardcore music, metal music from our youth. And the more we jammed together, the more we kind of just realized, like, that we wanted to be musical partners. And one day we were drinking horchata, eating Mexican sweet rolls, and I was telling him about my youth on the West Coast where I was raised, and he's talking about all these hikes I would take in the Redwood Forest and everything, and I just clicked. We were like, whoa, hikes, that's such a tight band name. It's kind of metal, but it's kind of, you know, super nature-y, which is more or less, I guess, our goal as a band. Using, like, this beautiful, complex nature with a slightly heavier music. And then Rock Paw at the same time was a thing that I was doing, and it was starting to really take on a life of its own. And we had Chris Long, who Nathan was acquainted with, was an incredible drummer, and, you know, he kind of joined the fold. And we were starting to have some problems because we were playing acoustic guitars. And I had just installed a pickup into my acoustic and rented, like, an acoustic amp, and we were going to try to make it work. And Chris is from, like, a total scrams and, like, heavy background, too, and we just could not make it jive. Like, he was just too loud. And then at the same time, I was becoming more and more involved, like, trying to make these zines. And so we just reached the conclusion that we kind of had to – I had to be out of the band. I had to focus on Rapa. And so I left, and they were a two-piece for a while. And then gradually they got Claire from Mother Falcon and Colin. He was playing in a band called Final Exam. And then that was the lineup for a little bit. And then, so I was out of the band for a good year for the first tour and for the recording of Friends, the first album, which is kind of wild. And then things just kind of all came back full circle, and Claire wasn't able to play in the band anymore because Mother Falcon was getting a lot more national attention, and they were going on tour. So, you know, I just went right back in and learned all her parts. She really wrote those parts. It's pretty wild. She killed it. They were really hard to learn, and I kind of had to get really good at guitar again. And, and then from there, we've just kind of been figuring it out with me back in the band.
That's awesome. That's so cool because, like, whenever I first met the Hikes and actually got introduced to Rawpaw, they came and stayed at my house with Maddie, and that was when Claire was in there, and I guess Claire and Madeline are friends. And, like, oh, man, that was just one of those, like, it's very rare that you have a band that, like, we had, you know, quite a few bands come and stay with us, but never really, like, a band that I was just like, oh, shit, this is a badass fucking band that I want to follow for the rest of however long. And also to just get the Rawpaws at that same time, kind of have that, like, built, and to kind of give some preference, too, to the listeners. I'm from Texas. So to leave Texas and then have some Texans come and stay at your house in Denver, Colorado, and just drop a fucking artistic load on you is just like, But I want to play y'all's new single, Tinker Creek, if you'll let me.
Oh, please, man, please.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll bring you back after this song, but right now, we're going to play the Hikes new single, Tinker Creek.
Thank you.
Sweet, Will.
Thanks, dude.
So, I guess to continue on with the night, I'm just going to ask a few questions, because, like, I mean, this is, like, technically an interview show, I guess. If you were going to travel through space, what planet would you be most excited to go to? I guess it would probably be just in our solar system, our immediate solar system. I don't know any really other planets outside of our solar system. But if you were going to travel through our solar system, what do you think your favorite planet would be?
I guess I'd be really excited to travel to, what's the planet with the moon that are, I guess it's Saturn. Yeah. I guess I'd be super down for Saturn. I hear it has some incredible moons. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I was just watching the new Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was definitely the Church of Science was getting me all kinds of psyched on one of those moons that where it's so cold that water becomes a landmass and the actual, I guess, the atmosphere is cold enough to where another element was more or less kind of like the water there. And then the water was frozen into the land. And, you know, they were just talking about how life forms could exist there that were just had completely different compositions that we've never really considered or discovered. And, yeah, I was getting away jazzed on that.
Dude, yeah.
That was
total.
All, yeah.
How do you just totally get jazzed on that? 'Cause space is cool as fuck. Not enough people recognize that. Yeah, I know what fucking planet you're talking about, too. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, though. But I think
it's Saturn or Jupiter.
Helium? Yeah, I think it might be Jupiter that you're referring to, and it rains helium. And it's like, what is the name of that planet? But, yeah, it's like all, like, the core of it is, like, maybe water as we would understand it. But, yeah, like, most of the land masses is just, like, frozen, solid water land mass shit. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's what's cool as hell. All right.
Yeah,
next
seriously.
Question. If you could have a superpower, what kind of superpower would you have?
I feel like I was joking with some friends one time about this, and I chose the really lame superpower of the power over paper, because I at the time I would have to collate and bone fold like a lot of our early zines, and it would take me forever. Like it almost like I actually it drove me to find someone with Adderall, and I kind of became addicted to Adderall for a month during, you know, which is bad, and I stopped. But yeah, I was like, damn, if I could just like lift all these papers together and collate them perfectly and have them all fold, like that's all that I could really ask for. I guess I could also use the paper to, you know, fling it so fast with my brain that it would turn into razors in the air. That would be a more practical power for a superhero. But yeah, I guess I'd be Paperman, nerdy enough.
Man, that's a really unique. I've never heard anyone who said they wanted to have the control over paper. But that's fucking badass. That's a great, be like page master. You just fucking like,
oh yeah,
open up
totally,
posts and
dude.
Fucking whole scenes come out. That's pretty brilliant. I really dig that.
dude, page master.
This,
hell yeah.
This buried question is kind of just I'm just gonna come out. How the fuck did you guys come up with the concept for your music video? The last one, was it Like Ripples, I do believe? The very Hook inspired music video.
Oh yeah. Damn, that's funny you should ask. Well initially, and this is kind of a plug for another music video we're working on for one of the bands under Rob Haw's label, Milezo. Milezo. You should check him out. But we're basically, we met this guy named Albert, or Aldebert. Ah, shit. Anyways, Chris met him at UT, my business partner, and he basically was a hacker, or he had won a hacking competition with UT, like a Hack for Change, or one of these new, you know, where they encourage the students with computer knowledge to, like, learn about hacking for, I guess, for social change or for good.
Hacktivist.
And he, I guess, yeah, hacktivist. And he had hacked the Xbox Kinect, and you know, was basically performing coding on the hacked version. And I'm sure other people have done it too, but I guess he had streamlined the process to the point where, you know, he really had his shit down, and so he won that contest and got, like, a bunch of grant money and started a company called Lynx Labs. And they basically, like, made this kind of huge iPad with, like, the same thing that a Kinect is made out of, like, infrared light or whatever. And they made this thing where you basically film people with this big iPad, and it takes all the information and it turns it into that infrared information. So it's basically you're taking 3D modeling information. And Chris had met him, and this guy was like, I'd really love to make a music video out of this. I know this is really long-winded. And so, and then basically offered it to Hikes. And I was like, yes, fuck yes. This is going to be like, we're going to fucking go so hard. And we met with him. I brought the guys in, and we were all talking about it. And, of course, they were like, this is super cool. I'm not sure if it's nature-y enough. And at the time I was so pissed. I was like, what are you talking about? We basically have access to like experimental 3D modeling technology for a music video. What? But now I'm cool with it. But at the time I was kind of pissed, but I didn't want it to seem that way. And so essentially we're like, well, I guess Milezo is a little more psychedelic. I guess we'll just save it for them. And then we consulted our friend Javier from Lobo Sucio, who had done the first Hikes video. And we were just all sitting around just throwing ideas out. And we just started talking about the movie Hook. And then we were just like, dude, that would be so funny, you know, that whole line. Except that it turned into a real thing where someone was like, oh, I know a pirate ship. And it was just like, wait, what? Like, I couldn't believe that it was unfolding and everyone was getting really excited about it. And And I actually have a lot of history with Peter Pan myself. When I was a little kid, I would actually watch Peter Pan like every day, the cartoon version by Disney. And whenever Peter Pan would fight Captain Hook, I would chew my parents out of the room, and I would have this pretend sword fight with Captain Hook, like with all my heart. And they definitely recorded it, and you could watch me as a little kid just like just going at it, sword fighting Captain Hook. And yeah, I don't know. And then Nathan kind of looks like Rufio, so it just made perfect sense.
Yeah, it was one of those better. I don't know, man. Like I don't know if I've ever seen a like DIY band too that was like, you know, of y'all size that pulled off something like that, like as impressive and as like nice. That's just a fucking amazing music video, which I will post the link with this episode so people can watch it, because it is just one of those things that like, like the second that I saw it, I mean, if you haven't seen Hook in years too, you just automatically, like with y'all's typography, everything that y'all chose, I don't know, it's just fucking, fucking hilarious. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So do you guys have any shows coming up or any Raw Province coming up or, we haven't even talked about 787XX yet.
But, oh, like, yeah. Well, on the Hikes and Rapa end, we have a show coming up on April 16th at Cheer Up Charlie's. It's a benefit for the victims of the tragedy during South By, the folks that got ran over by that guy. South By Southwest Cares. It's thrown by Austin Music People. So we're playing that, which is really beautiful, and it's just a benefit. And then, Boyfriends. Definitely check out Boyfriends. They went on tour, and they got their van stolen in San Francisco. And they're definitely, like, one of our brother bands. Yeah, they got, like, ridiculous amounts of shit stolen from them. Like, the gear that they've accumulated over, you know, so long. And their whole band, all of their new vinyl, their album's called Breeders. But, yeah, we're playing their homecoming show. I'm not necessarily sure what gear they're going to play, but they're keeping at it, so... Boyfrndz. If anyone is into post rock, math rock, that side of things, definitely check them out and support them. But yeah, we're going to be playing with them April 26th. And then the very last, the ultimate, is the Rapa Issue 5 Dreams release, which will be happening at Empire Control Room and Garage. And that's going to be Hikes, Miles, O'Corduroy, and then we have a very special, yet announced, very much bigger band that we're in the works talking with them right now. I'm super excited. I wish I could just say it, but yeah, it will be quite a lineup, and it will be the release of the zine that we've been working on for basically a year. So yeah. I'm really psyched about that. It's May 24th. I'll send you a copy for sure.
Awesome, yeah. No, did you get a copy of those books that I sent too, by the way?
I did. Well, Clem brought to our meeting today, she brought the new book. Oh man, it was beautiful. Dude. Good job.
Dude.
And I only got to skim through it. Yeah.
Man, beautiful. That I'm very, very excited about that. And I'm glad that Clem got that to you today too. So
woo. Yeah, dude, totally. You got that satin matte finish, I believe,
dude,
it's called.
Dude, that matte finish, son. That was one of those. Like, the whole time I was, like, finalizing that book, like, making, like, the inside, you know, like, in the cream-colored pages instead of just, like, the basic white, like, the basic eggshell, getting that matte in there. I was thinking of that scene in American Psycho where they're all sitting around talking about their fucking business cards. Like,
oh yeah,
you've ever seen that movie?
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's pretty much. I feel like I have a Paul Allen card book, so I'm pretty pumped.
Oh, definitely,
on that.
Dude. Perfect choice of paper. I love that off-white paper. Oh, I mean, it's even darker than off-white. It's a pretty off-white. It's beautiful, and then yeah, the cover, it's beautiful, man. Congratulations.
Dude, yeah. shout out to my beautiful, beautiful, lovely lady friend, Austin Fields, for making that, by the way. But yeah, dude, man, this has been a fucking, I'm really glad that you decided to come on tonight and talk all this. But we should, I'm going to play another song, and then I want to talk 787XX for a little bit, if you have the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Well, I'm going to play Like Ripples, which is off the Gold Spine, Hike Split. All of these things are on Bandcamp. Go purchase them. Yeah. Will. Welcome back. Welcome back, America, to the show, everybody that's listening. So, final discussion topic for tonight, 787XX. Can you please fill our listeners in to what that is?
Wow, yeah, it's crazy that you should ask, because I just, some big changes about that happened today, but in a nutshell, 787XX was our newspaper. And it was some folks, some mutual acquaintances that I was introduced to who were making a zine and called 787XX. It had a few more journalism articles in there that I really enjoyed. And they needed my help printing, and I printed on my risograph machine and kind of helped them through the process. And a lot of their collaborators started leaving and et cetera. And I basically asked them if they wanted to work together on the project. And at the time I was doing a regularly kind of monthly called Plog, which was kind of a joke for print blog, a newspaper being a print blog. But yeah, so we basically combined forces. Like I kind of dropped the name Plog and it becomes 787XX, and the four editors that they were came aboard the Raw Paw team. And yeah, we did 3 issues that were distributed, 5,000 copies. I figured out, like, who to find, who does newsprint. It was the Statesman. You know, they print all the newspapers, and I learned a lot about the production of newspapers on what's called a web press. I'm not even really sure what it means, but I know that's what they use to print newspapers. And yeah, we toured this ridiculous warehouse where it was just like, it felt like some fantastical industrial, like, you know, what you kind of imagine true industry to feel like, you know. It was definitely that,
those,
you know,
huge rollers, those huge, like, rolling machine type things, like that James Bond movie.
It was ridiculous, man. It was like, I felt like I was in the Death Star or something, and the guy was telling me that each of the rolls of paper that they have is like 5 tons. They're like enormous. It's so wild. But yeah, so basically I figured out that whole process, and we kind of did 3 issues, and I guess as of today, we've decided to part ways, oddly enough. Which was kind of an interesting development, but I guess to let you in on the internal workings of our organization, which is to say, like, a completely kind of DIY print label that's gradually getting bigger, and like things are happening more frequently, and essentially we were sharing designers between the two publications. Our really good friend Angie Calderon was designing for both. And what we realized, or I guess they always kind of had a good amount of autonomy. You know, it was definitely a great working together, but they were really gunning to put out an issue by May. And like during this month, we're basically conceptualizing and designing the issue 5 I was telling you about, Dreams, which we've been working on for a year. And we realized, like, wow, if both of these continue as they are, both of them, none of them are going to be good. And like the thing that we've worked so hard on, like Angie will be overworked and stressed, and like the publication won't go as planned. So we basically, as a larger entity, I guess, had to pump the brakes and say, you know, we just can't do this issue because we really got to focus. And it's also pretty expensive. We were trying to find advertisement. It just seemed like it was just too fast, too soon since the last issue that you saw from South By. And we actually met today. I mean, just bringing that up brought up larger conversations that we didn't have initially, like, you know, Raw Paw has become a limited liability company for, I guess, legal purposes. If someone breaks their leg at a show, you know, Will Cobber won't be sued as an individual, which is kind of nice to know. But yeah, we are trying to figure out that side of the game and how to play it and pay taxes. And we just started realizing like 787XX is a name, and as an entity, it exists, but to the government, it doesn't exist. All that exists is RAPA. And so we didn't consolidate that initially, because when we started it, that wasn't an issue. We hadn't become an LLC yet. So we met to kind of figure out how we could continue with them being an autonomous organization and us being like, I guess, the ones legally and financially responsible for it. And basically the final decision, I suppose, was that they go their own way. Which, you know, totally respected it, and ultimately I'm still going to do basically the same thing, just under another name, and the four key editors that I had will no longer be involved, but, you know, I wish them all the well, and I'm going to keep doing it.
For sure, that is, you know, that's being a DIY artist to the nth degree, is like doing a lot of stuff and then realizing almost a year later, 6 months later, 8 months later, that like, oh yeah, fucking taxes, fucking LLC, fucking just everything that you need to cover your own ass, you know, like that you as an artist aren't too concerned with, because you're already so busy just trying to network and trying to create and trying to just, like, establish this community sense. And then, of course, fucking, here comes Big Brother in there, who's like, hey, I see that you're running, you know, for my, you know, Blog Talk Radio, which you make, you know,
yeah,
blank cents, point cents on every random advertisement every several episodes, you know. And that's, like, even one of those things, like, oh, you made $10 last year from, you know, PayPal donations? The government's going to want three of those dollars, four of those dollars. And it's always something that you never really even realize as a DIY artist. But, man, like, that's another reason I really respect you guys, is, like, y'all have taken those next steps into being like, okay, well, we've accepted that we're artists, and now we're going to accept that we can make money as artists, which, like, most DIY artists I know, they don't even, like, one, it's taken them so long to accept in their heart and their soul that they are an artist, and two, it's taken them so long to realize, man, like, I can actually make money off of this if I fucking, like, settle my focus down and, you know, present a clean product instead of just trying to get a product out there. So, yeah, man, like, at least you guys are, you know, thinking about stuff logically, you know. Mr. Spock is my hero, so anytime logic comes into play, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's actually, I've kind of reevaluated, you know, through this whole process, like, I've just reached a new philosophy on how this works, and, you know, I guess the initial, my inborn, like, punk rock DIY ethical standpoint that I've kind of carried from when I was 13, you know, going to to hardcore shows in the Bay Area. And I've kind of been evaluating that in myself, like, why do I believe this so strongly in certain ways? And it's changed, you know, like, in some ways, you know, my initial reaction is to be like, man, fuck taxes, fuck, like, you know,
yeah,
fuck all this. Why do I have to play this game like this? But in some ways I'm kind of grateful, like, I've almost been, and maybe I'm watching too much Cosmos, but I'm just starting to think about these things as like almost natural selection. It's like, this is the environment that we operate in. There's maybe you could call it a predator or the weather, whatever the government would represent in my analogy of natural selection, there's this factor. And it's a very real factor, and it kind of determines how you're able to adapt to that, determines with how successful you're going to be with your art or whatever. And what we've realized, you know, I want to embrace that. It's like, well, if that's how it's going to be, like, damn it, I'm going to fucking do it the best that I can, and I'm going to figure out how to play that game. I'm going to get everyone that is around us who works with us, like, I want to get them educated and knowledgeable about that. I want it to be completely transparent. I think that, like, we can establish a new paradigm for functioning in the system. And, you know, there are the fighters. There are the people on the front lines who are activists who are working towards changing said system. I don't feel that's my job, or at least it's not right now. And ultimately, like, you know, I'm going to use all my resources to figure out how to operate in the system so that when it does change, like, you know, we have grown up. We have built, like, a, I guess, a stronghold within it, and we're successful and able to function and feed ourselves and be very happy and productive. And I don't know, it's just kind of a new, I guess, a weird new way of thinking, to where it's like, I don't want to think about LLCs or business or taxes negatively. It's just, I don't know, a beautiful natural process, like a flower. Or,
yeah,
you know.
No, absolutely. It's like how a plant outside, you know, or like, you know, I grow a lot of things, and I enjoy growing a lot of things, but like, when you are growing things, there's so many variables that can go wrong at any instance that can, you know, destroy that plant. But at the same time, if there weren't all of those obstacles to overcome, I don't know how, if it would be as satisfying, as gratifying to cultivate and raise that plant, you know? And I think that is, you know, something that, and Clementine and I have, you know, our mutual friend and one of your cohorts at Rawpaw, have discussed how, you know, for years and years and years, I think a lot of DIY kids, and especially, you know, kids like us who did grow up on listening to, like, Minor Threats and Gorilla Biscuits, you know what I mean? Like, those,
yeah,
those type of bands,
totally.
you don't want to fucking buy in, but you also at a certain point realize that, like, money isn't bad nor is it good. It's just the energy that you surround yourself with and that you create with. You know, money is simply energy and effect and how much output you put into the world a lot of the time. So getting over a lot of the stigmas that I think a lot of the past generations had too, from those DIY standpoints of being like, okay, money isn't the root of all evil. It's just another tool in a kind of corrupt system, but simultaneously a system that can benefit people if you work within its boundaries. So, I don't know, I respect that too, because, like, yeah, from my initial response is to be like, fuck you, fuck the government, fuck doing things right, fuck, like, paying tax, fuck any of that. But at the end of the day, if you want to continue to create and you want to continue to have that sort of, like, impact in your community and create good things in your community, then you have to be around, you know. And if you're not if you're not around because you decided one day that you weren't going to just do some little jump through some little hoop that you didn't want to jump through, like, that really negates what you're trying to do as a DIY artist again, because, like, yeah, fuck the establishment, but at the same time, fuck being trapped in the establishment even more so. I'd much rather work around the edges of not being, you know, in trouble or entrapped within it. Just, hey, I'm doing my thing. Hey, I'm paying my thing. Leave me alone kind of thing, you know? So.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, man. That's,
yeah.
You definitely, we're definitely on the same wavelength there. I guess another dumb analogy is, you know, like you said, money is like energy. It's not inherently anything. It's like water. It sustains life. You can drown in it. A big wave could, you know, crush an entire shoreline. But, like, what it is ultimately is it's just energy. It's a building block. And yeah, I feel the same way about money. It's definitely a lot can be done with it. And to ignore that or to deny it is kind of being a little naive. And, I don't know, man. I think that, yeah, or scared. And, you know, Clem keeps talking about the principle of abundance. Like, we're in abundance, having that mindset. And, you know, I'm totally down. I'm totally down with that. I want Google to pay one of my boys, like, $500,000 to paint a mural on their new headquarters. You know, that would be incredible, because when that amount of energy goes to any one individual that we have established through love and mutual understanding and work and art, like, you know, if that person was to get $500,000, I wouldn't expect that money to go to me as, you know, like straight up, like, oh, hey, dude, you're rich now, give me some money. But I do know that just because we've established these relationships, like, it will, like, be fed back into the community in a beautiful way, you know? Like, this person will remember, like, man, I remember when I was in the zine, like, you know, now I have some money, I want to do a book on my own, and I can pay the cost up front, and I want you all to publish it. You know, there's just all kinds of fantasies I entertain about the future and how glorious it could, you know, essentially be. But, I mean, I just think that it will all come out in the wash and it will all be a beautiful situation.
Absolutely. And, man, it's just, it's really fucking cool, like, to not only see that coming out of my home state, which, like, you know, Texas, I can't even imagine what it's like for you to move from, like, Northern like you know, West Coast to fucking Texas. Like, that's one of those – that must have been at least, like, semi-culture shock for you for a little bit. Like, because it is just its own unique – Austin especially is its own unique, strange, weird fucking place that just has that. And it's one of those places, too, that, like, for a long time has cultivated so much creative energy, but I feel like we're really seeing the first real generation of kids who were born, raised in Austin and have wanted to stay in Austin instead of, like, taking their talents to New York or L.A., because I feel like that was what happened for years and years and years, is that Austin would just – it would be a training ground for a lot of great musical artists or just artists or, you know, people like that in general, and then they would kind of – go on to do bigger and better things. And that's one of the things that I love about Austin right now, is it's really finding itself in its artistic community and finding itself in its own cultural community and really, like, taking the baby steps to being like, hey, we are a little LA, we are a little New York, you know, like, we have all of those same industries here, start treating us like that, you know? So I don't know, and I really feel like you guys especially are a really large part around that, a part of that in that Austin community. Especially just, like, the artists that you've been able to, like, you have a bunch of different artists that are working with you guys, but at the same time they all have a kind of similar ethos to them. Because it's definitely not a style, but there's definitely an ethos that comes with everybody that Raw Paw works with, or the people that you guys associate with too, like the Fox and Quarterly or Vagabond Collective as well, all of those people. And, you know, Collab and Art, RIP to Collab and Art, that's very sad. But, you know, that's how, that is what happens in those communities too, is those smaller things sometimes don't work. So, but yeah, I don't know. Thank you so much for coming on tonight too, man. Like, it's been a pleasure to be able to, like, geek out with you.
talk about
printing and stuff.
Thank you so much. I mean, and just to, I guess, the last statement on what you were just talking about, you know, I do feel very strongly about what you were saying in terms of sowing your seeds where you're at. And you know, there's definitely, like, a wave of people that we worked with who were, like, maybe, like, a little more Austin natives. Maybe their parents had a little bit more money, who are like, yeah, I'm out of here, going to New York, whatever. But ultimately, like, I feel like there is kind of an opposite attitude to take, which is like, you know what, like, I'm going to be proud of where I'm from, and I'm going to do everything I can to build it up, because for the next generation, for my friends, for my family, like, and that's definitely what I want to bring to Austin. And you know, I know there's, like, probably all kinds of Texas kids who are like, man, fuck Grapevine, where I went to my last year of high school. Like, I'm going to move to Austin. And that's great, like, if that's really your calling. But, you know, there is still so much you can do and so many people to meet in, like, any community, even if it's a suburb. It's just like, sow your seeds there, and maybe something beautiful will happen. And if it doesn't, like, yeah, move. But I'm very much about, like, you know, we have such a restless kind of internet driven, like what is local anymore? And I don't know, you know, I do
Absolutely.
Think that paradise is where you make it. And yeah, dude, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Dude, also, I want to say, you went to Grapevine for your senior year in high school? Because I totally graduated from Richmond, which we used to play each other in football all the time. So what year did you graduate?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. 2007.
Son, you, Taylor Kirk and I both went to Richmond, and we both graduated 2007 as well. Just small
Whoa, that's
world.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah,
dude. And see, the crazy thing about that area, too, is, like, I think it's a totally a valid place for kids to grow up, you know? Like, maybe there's some, like, suburban angst, but damn it, there was a lot of good things going on and a lot of good education and you know, like, obviously some really cool dudes grew up there and went their separate ways, and now here we are, like, doing amazing things and finding out that, hey, we grew up in the DFW Metroplex. How crazy is that?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I've run into kids all the time, all over the country from the DFW Metroplex, who have, escaped but kept that mentality from that area. It's a very, I don't know, that's a hard, I'm glad that you understand that, too, and you're from that time period, because there's a very large community of people who are still in that community or now branched out all over the country who are doing just fucking phenomenal, amazing things. Actually, Alexandra Cohen, who I've had on this show before, who you guys have done a couple of her book releases, her people portraits and her kids book, which she went to my high school, and she was like a year younger than us. And she's one of those artists that, like, yeah, right? She's like one of those artists that I look up to from a distance, and I'm just like, she's super fucking cool. Like, I don't know how you can do those like those types of things, the mixed multimedia projects, like, that's just mind blowing. But yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
Well, we should continue this conversation in cyberspace, just because we're running a little short on time, and I've got to and I want to play Tattoo off of Friends, because that's one of my favorite tracks by you guys. But
awesome,
dude. Thank you again for coming on. Really badass to talk to you, shoot the shit. And also to not, I think the last conversation we had, I was pretty blackout drunk at that local gold show. But that was a fucking phenomenal show that you guys were a part of throwing as well. So
Oh dude, that was a great time. You didn't make a fool out of yourself, I'll tell you that much. We were just shooting the shit. Just like this. You're just a little bit drunker.
There was just this one point that I really remembered, like, coming back to reality and being like, oh, shit, I'm sitting at the Raw Paw merch table with Will talking about things and being like, oh, man, I've been really drunk.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Will, you have a phenomenal night, my brother, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, dude. I can't wait to read the new book, and I can't wait for Hikes to come through the Colorado area again.
Yeah, dude, next time you guys come through, you should stay with us, because we're a little bit more, like, smoke weed every day, drink booze kind of vibe. You know what I'm saying? So,
don't lose your ID this time.
Dude, I've got the ID situation on lock, so don't worry about that. The next show, I will be at faux show.
Oh, yeah. All right, man.
Brother.
Have a great night.
Yeah, man, you too.
All right, talk soon.
And that was Will from Raw Paw, Cogda, and The Hikes. And that, of course, is the Hikes from Austin, Texas. Just phenomenal, phenomenal band. Really, really sweet human beings, too. Like to you tonight. Say thank you to Will Caver coming on, talking and shooting the shit all night. That's always badass. Always nice to have people who want to come on and talk the shit, that's for sure. Next week, Toby will be back, our lovely co-host. He's covering Snowball tonight. For all of those not in the Denver metropolitan area or in the Festy circuit, shout out to the Lot Kids. It is a pretty much electronic music fest. And, yeah. Good luck to Toby out there. Next week, also, we will have human beings on the show. What will these human beings entail? What do they do? God only knows. They could be light vibrational beings from a separate dimension. So you might want to tune in because that could be really fucking groovy. But you don't know. I don't know. But we'll figure that out at some point during the week. As I said, you can go to hikes.bandcamp.com and you can get the new Tinker Creek single, which we played earlier tonight, which is phenomenal. Hikes Gold Spine Split, which Gold Spine also, some lovely ass motherfucking kids from ATX, and Friends by the Hikes, which their first album, besides Trophy Lives and Shepherd's Clock, and Archipelago, and yeah, River Song. All of these, man, this is all on Bandcamp. Y'all, you go get that right now. But for real, I am Dr. William Stewart Bonney, and I do have my doctor accreditation, so I can refer to myself as a doctor. We are broadcasting live from the Cygnus Quadrant of the Milky Way galaxy tonight, and I love you. I really love you. If you want to have some more fun during the week, cheeseburgernebula.tumblr.com has a bunch of poetry, has links up to my new book, Studies from Unknown Press, my old book, Galaxy vs. Sabretooth, and Clefjaw Press. Yeah, shit. Isn't it cool talking about yourself? Woo. All right. But I love you guys. Have a wonderful night. Stay high.